myself, and what Michael was talking about this morning about this effort at Awana that we're trying to employ, and it's a method or a tool that we want to use in reaching these children with the gospel, and we'd like to, what we want to do is speak to the children one-on-one, and the one leader talking to the child about being saved and what sin is, who Jesus is, what the Bible is, and that type of thing. And, of course, this doesn't happen overnight. We just don't go in there and, bam, get the kid, push him into a corner, and start preaching the gospel to him. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to build a relationship with each of these children, first of all. And then after that, you know, talk to them about spiritual things. So you pray. You pray. Pray for Michael Matson, Marsha Hoka, Donna Warren. They're the directors here of our Awana program and our Awana club. And pray for their leaders and in this effort, because I'm convinced that this is that what we're going to do is going to be effective, and I believe it's going to bear fruit. I have faith in the Lord that He will bring forth fruit from this effort. But we need your prayers. You know, it's not going to work unless we have the prayers of God's people. So just keep that in mind. That's all I'm going to say about that. We need to go back into the book of Galatians. That's what we're doing. We're in Galatians chapter 3 tonight. We finished up the first two verses of chapter 3 this morning. And tonight we're going to look at verses 3 through 12 of Galatians 3. And the Apostle Paul started off this chapter in verse 1 by saying, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who has cast a spell over you?" And the Apostle Paul is deeply concerned about these Galatian Christians, about the false teachers' inroads in the Galatian churches. And keep in mind that these false teachers came in. They snuck in, if you want to call it that, and they introduced these false teachings to the believers there in Galatia, saying that in order to be saved, you've got to keep the Old Testament law, the rules and regulations of the Old Testament law. If you don't keep that, you're not going to be saved. And this had created much confusion and distress among the Christians there in Galatia. Paul is writing this letter to these Christians to correct this problem, this situation. And he is also talking about many things. Among them is that wonderful doctrine in the New Testament called justification by faith, which is one of the most precious doctrines in the Scriptures. And we're going to talk about that this morning in the old, tonight rather. I don't know what time of day it is, I think. It says almost 6:45 p.m. Okay. I know where I'm at and what I'm doing. But we're going to talk about the grace of God was seen in the Old Testament in Abraham's life, and we're going to talk about that and look at that. But we'll start reading at chapter 3, verse 3 through verse 12. "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." And we'll stop right there for a while. In verse 3, or in the first five verses, the Apostle Paul asks a series of rhetorical questions. We talked about that a little bit this morning. And in verse 3, he asks the question, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Now, that word perfect there may throw you a little bit. Some people may think, well, that Paul's talking about sinless perfection when he talks about perfect. But he's not speaking about sinless perfection in this case. He's talking about perfection being complete spiritual maturity. That's what Paul is talking about here. And he says, having begun in the Spirit. You know, the Galatians supposedly were living their Christian life by the divine empowerment of the Spirit of God, just like we are. Just like you are, and I am. That we live our Christian life by the empowerment of the Spirit of God. And he's saying you have begun that way. You have started and began your Christian experience and your Christian life by obeying and being led by the Spirit of God. And he says, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you made spiritually mature by the flesh? Now, we have to keep in mind what the flesh is. What does the flesh consist of? When we talk about that, we're talking about our sin nature. The part of us that is depraved, corrupt, wicked, evil, that's our sin nature. The flesh can be outwardly refined. It can be outwardly reformed. It can be outwardly educated. But it's still the flesh. And it's still at enmity with God. And nothing good, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to tell you something. Nothing good comes from our flesh. Nothing. And Paul is saying here, can you take that depraved, corrupt, sinful part of our nature and can you make it spiritually mature? Can you use the flesh to bring yourself to spiritual maturity? That's impossible. You cannot do that. You'll fail if you try to do that. And, you know, I think sometimes we Christians, we don't remember that. We get caught up in the idea, well, I'm going to do this service for God, and I've done it all, you know, for the past 10 or 15 or 20 years. I know how to do it, so I don't need to pray, and I don't need to, you know, we kind of push the Holy Spirit into the background, and we try to do things on our own, in our own power, in our own strength. And you know what's going to happen when we do that. We're going to flop. Fall on our face. Fail. I've been there. And you have too. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But Paul here is saying in verse 3, are you so foolish? He's telling these Galatian Christians, are you so foolish that you began in the Spirit of God, you started your Christian experience and your life in the power of the Spirit of God, and now are you going to be made completely mature by the flesh? And that's the question that Paul is asking here rhetorically in verse 3. In verse 4, he says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? The Galatians had suffered. They had been persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Anytime you are saved, you're going to pay a price. Once we come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, when we leave the power of Satan's kingdom and come into the power of God's, and come into the kingdom of God and start obeying Him and putting Him first in our life, we're going to get some heat. We're going to get some people. We're going to get some criticism. We're going to get some persecution. We're going to get some people who make fun of us, mock us. In the case of the Galatians, when they came to faith in Christ, they were suffering. They were suffering persecution. But the Apostle Paul believes, you know, this morning I mentioned the fact that many of the Galatian Christians had turned their backs on the grace of God and they had reverted back to Judaism. They had gone back into obeying the rules and the regulations of the Old Testament. And Paul, I think, here is hoping that they will not abandon their faith in Christ for Judaism. He's got better hopes for them for the future. And he says in verse 5, again, some rhetorical questions. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That word ministereth is interesting. It means to bestow liberally, to lavish abundantly. He therefore that lavished abundantly to you the Spirit. You can render it that way. the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, we see that Paul is talking about the Spirit that worketh miracles among you. You know, the Spirit of God had done mighty acts of divine power among the Galatian Christians. Being saved is a supernatural act of God. I would consider it a miracle. You know, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't consider being saved and regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God as a miracle. But I think that comes, if it's not a miracle, it comes pretty close. And Paul is saying here that these acts of spiritual power did not come through adherence to the work of the law in verse 5. Doeth it he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Divine supernatural power does not come through our human efforts, but solely by the Spirit of God. You and I cannot perform miracles, folks. We can't go out down in the park, go out in the parking lot and get a crowd and say, I'm going to call fire down from heaven and it's going to happen. And the Judaizers, these people who are teaching the Christians false doctrine, false teaching, could not produce one act of supernatural divine power through keeping the law. It cannot be done. Can you keep the Ten Commandments and perform divine acts of supernatural power? No way. You can't do that. And Paul is saying in verse 5, therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works or of law or the hearing of faith. You know, the Spirit of God can perform miracles in people's lives. Now, I'm talking about after we're saved. And we've seen how it would seem to be a miracle to us. And we see here that Paul is contrasting the work of the Holy Spirit with the works of the law. You know, we don't have any supernatural, brother and sister in Christ, we don't have supernatural power in our lives through keeping the Old Testament law or obeying the Ten Commandments. The only one who provides that supernatural divine power we need in our life is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He is the one that provides that divine power in our lives. The works of the law cannot do this. And the Galatian Christians had reverted, some of them had reverted back to the law, and Paul is trying to bring them back to the realization that the works of the law does not provide supernatural power in your life. It's the Spirit of God that does that. You know, so why should they go back to the works of the law? You see, in verse 5. Now, in verses 6 through 9 here, Paul uses Abraham as an illustration of divine grace, the fact that Abraham was justified by faith and not by the works of the law in verses 6 through 9. And he says in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That phrase, accounted to him for righteousness, was a quote from Genesis 15:6. And we read there that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Paul uses a similar illustration in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. We're not going to go through that tonight, but I'll just put that out there for you. In those five verses, Paul talks about Abraham being justified by faith. And he uses the same quote from Genesis 15:6 to prove that Abraham was justified by faith and not by the works or deeds of the law. And in verse 6, Paul says, it was accounted to him for righteousness. That word accounted is a bookkeeping term. It means credit to one's account. If you have a bank account, somebody put $10,000 in it. That would be credit to your account. And listen, folks, let me tell you. If y'all want to put $10,000 in my bank account, let me know and I'll help you out with that transaction. I'll give you all the information you need. Just kidding. But you understand what I'm talking about there. And that God credited to Abraham's account his, that is, God's righteousness. God credited to Abraham's account his righteousness. That's the transaction that took place. The moment that Abraham believed in God, he was made righteous. He was made righteous in God's eyes. it was faith plus nothing that made Abraham righteous. It's the same formula today. Faith in Jesus Christ. It's the grace of God alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, equals salvation. If you want a formula for salvation, that's it. The grace of God alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, plus nothing else. Nothing. Nothing. That's how I was saved. When I heard the gospel, and Gideon was there, he can back me up on this. I didn't have to keep the works of the law. All I had to do was believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust Him as my Savior. I was saved. So were you. The moment you place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you were, in whatever month, day, and year it was, how many ever years or months ago it was, at that particular moment, God forgave all your sins, and He gave you eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and keep the Ten Commandments, and you'll be saved. No. No. That's not it. It's the grace of God alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's how Abraham was justified before God. Exactly the same way. And in verse 7, he says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Now, they which are of faith are believers, and we understand that God accepts everyone on the basis of faith, and not by keeping the works of the law. And that phrase, the children of Abraham, you know, the Judaizers taught that only the descendants of Abraham, that is, circumcised Jews or Jews who keep the Old Testament, they were the children of Abraham as nobody else. And technically, they're right. Physically, the Jews are the physical descendants of Abraham. Abraham is their father. He's the father of their nation. But God, on the other hand, says that anyone who has faith in Christ are children of Abraham, spiritually speaking. Now, all of us are not Jews. Abraham is not our father physically because we're not Jews. But he is our father, spiritually speaking. We're children of Abraham in the spiritual realm. And I hope that doesn't bring up any confusion in your mind. But again, Paul is using Abraham here as an example, as an illustration of justification by faith alone, without the works or the deeds of the law. That's the point that Paul is trying to get across here. And he says in verse 8, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." The Scriptures, he says, and the Scripture, that is, the inspired writings of God, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, says, and he says in verse 8, "Foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith." You know, seeing a long distance off into the future, God foresaw that foresaw Abraham being a channel of blessings to the Gentiles. That Abraham was not only the father of a nation, of the nation of Israel, he was a channel of blessing to the Gentiles. And he preached before the gospel unto Abraham. God announced the good news beforehand to Abraham by promising, "In thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed." Another quote from Genesis. And again, we are blessed through Abraham. We're not part of the nation of Israel, but we are blessed in the fact that God chose Abraham, used him as a channel of blessing to the Gentiles, to the Gentile world, Gentile countries, Gentile people. The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. The heathen, that's us. Another word for heathen is Gentiles. You know. And we're not I shouldn't say anything about heathen, but another word for that, for heathen. And you're not, folks, you're not all heathen. And I hopefully, Lord willing, I'm not either. But, you know, Abraham was used by God as a conduit, a channel, to justify the Gentiles through faith. And again, Paul is pointing out to the Galatian Christians the fact that their father, who was the father of the Jewish nation, their father before they were saved, he was saying that even Abraham was justified by faith and not by the works or the deeds of the law. And in verse 9, he says, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." That is, the Galatian Christians and Christians everywhere are blessed by God through this great man of faith. And like I said, God not only used Abraham as the father of the nation of Israel, but he's the spiritual father of believers everywhere. Now, we don't identify ourselves with Abraham. We identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Savior and our Lord. But as far as an example or an illustration of justification by faith, Abraham stands out so vividly in the Scriptures as an illustration, an example of justification by faith. You know, Abraham was never saved by making a burnt offering. And you know, I was confused about that for, you know, when I was, after I got saved. I really didn't understand, well, how did the people in the Old Testament, how did they get saved, you know? Did they take a goat out or a bull out and burn it on the altar? And I found out, you know, as I read the Scriptures in the Old Testament and New Testament, came to find out that they were justified by faith, just like me. And we see that the sacrificial system came after that. You know, Abraham, after he was justified by faith, he made I'm not sure about this. You can check it out on your own. He could have made an offering to God during that time. If he did, that's fine. But that's not God's way of salvation, is to have an animal die in a burnt offering. God's way of salvation is justification by faith alone. You see, God declares a guilty sinner not guilty by faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. And we talked about that this morning. And so we see that in verses 6 through 9, Paul points out to the Galatian Christians the fact that Abraham was justified by faith. That God accounted to his account, or counted to him, righteousness. And, you know, brother, sister in Christ, God has done the same thing for us. He has done exactly the same thing for you. You and I, as far as in God's eyes, in God's sight, stand as righteous in his eyes. We have right standing with God. And that's a wonderful place to be, is it not? Is to be righteous before God. Because, brothers, sisters in Christ, if people are not righteous in God's eyes, they're going to be lost. They'll be lost for eternity. You and I are not lost because we stand righteous in God's eyes. Praise God for that. Thank the Lord for that. And it's nothing that we did. It's all by the grace of God. All by God's wonderful, loving, compassionate grace. And that Abraham was justified the same way, by faith, just like you and I were. So we see that Paul is trying to get across to the Galatian Christians here in verses 6 through 9, the fact that Abraham was justified by faith also. And we see he continues on in verses 10 through 12. Now, in verses 10 through 12, Paul says that a person that's under the law work system is under the curse of the law. That's what he's talking about in verses 10 through 12. In verse 10, he says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." In verse 10, Paul boxes in the Judaizers, pushes them up against the wall, and he has his hand on their throat. Not literally, I'm talking about figuratively, intellectually speaking. That's what's going on in verse 10. We'll break it down. Now, Paul says in verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law." All those people that are depending on the works of the law to be justified, but that's who Paul is talking about in that phrase, of the works of the law. That's the Judaizers we're talking about. And he says further in verse 10 that they are under the curse. That is, another way of rendering that is, the wrath of God is hanging over them. Over these Judaizers. You know, you've seen that Peanuts comic strip. You remember Charlie Brown? And sometimes bad things happen to poor Charlie. He has this dark cloud following him around all over the place, you know. And I think it's kind of funny in the comic strip.
But you know, the wrath of God is following these Judaizers around. They are under the curse. That's what adherence to the unsaved people adhere to the law. They're putting themselves under the curse, under the wrath of God. For it is written, Paul says, I like that phrase, it is written. God's word is a permanent record and will never be altered. It won't be amended. It won't be changed in any way. You remember the Lord Jesus saying, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It is written. It is written. In verse 10, that they are cursed, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The word cursed here means doomed for destruction. Doomed for destruction. They are cursed, and everyone that not continueth in the words. That's a quote from Deuteronomy 27:26. When he says everyone that continueth not in the works of the law. Paul had boxed in the Judaizers, and since no one can keep the Old Testament law perfectly, no one can keep the Old Testament law perfectly, how can you be justified by God if you can't keep the law? How is that possible? If a person, unsaved person out here says, well, I can be accepted by God and I'm going to heaven someday because I keep the Old Testament law or I keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, really? How many of those commandments have you broken today? In your thoughts, your words, your deeds. Well, I tried. Well, trying ain't good enough, folks. If you want to get to heaven, you've got to keep every precept, every tiny little comma, every jot and every tittle of God's law. You have got to keep it perfectly through your whole life. If a person says that, well, hey, huh, they might be saints. Who knows? But you know, folks, that's not going to happen. You know, nobody in this world who has ever walked this earth, except the person of our Savior, can keep the Old Testament law perfectly and completely, 100% of the time, all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. It ain't going to happen. And Paul is saying here to the Galatian Christians who had reverted back to Judaism. Since nobody can keep the Old Testament law perfectly, how are you going to be justified by God if you can't keep the law? Will that ever happen? Well, you know, I'll just try in my life. You know, like I said, trying ain't good enough. I ain't going to cut it with God. And God had provides a way where we don't have to worry about keeping the law, the rules, the regulations. We can be justified by God by faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? How beautiful, how simple that is to understand. And now in verse 11, Paul continues on. He says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Now that's pretty clear, pretty plain, isn't it? It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But that no man is justified by the law. God will not accept people using the law to justify themselves. We talked about that this morning. In Galatians 2:16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. And at the end of verse 16, it says, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. How clear, how plain that is to anybody. If you have people from a cult coming knocking on your door, and they want to talk to you about being saved by works, by doing good, by doing this and doing that, you've got to become a member of our group, and you've got to keep these rules and regulations, and you'll get to heaven. Well, tell them to look at Galatians 2:16, to turn to Galatians 2:16 and read that verse to them. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. No person alive in this world has ever lived or is living that can get to heaven through keeping the works of the law. It's not going to happen, as I said this morning. In verse 11, Paul says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. That's that wonderful verse It's found in Habakkuk 2:4. How do I pronounce that? Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Hebrews 10:38, and Galatians 3:11. The just shall live by faith. It's mentioned there in the Old and the New Testament. It reminds me of that time. You know, you've heard of Martin Luther. You remember him, the great reformer. Martin Luther spent most of his life as a Catholic monk or priest. I guess he's a priest. And he was seeking to make himself acceptable to God. He would get on his knees in front of a stairwell and walk up the stairwell on his knees. These stairs were not wooden with carpet on them. They were concrete. They were rock. He would walk up those stairs on his knees and do that continually, trying to make himself acceptable to God. He had bloodied and bruised knees. And the pain that he suffered to do that, he was trying desperately to make himself acceptable to God. And he never had that assurance in his heart. He never had that assurance in his heart until he came, I think it was the book of Romans, chapter 1, when he ran across that verse, the just shall live by faith. And it finally dawned, the light went off in his mind, that he's going to be justified by God. He'll be acceptable to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Not by crawling up a bunch of stairs on his knees. And folks, there are people out there. You may not believe it, but there are. There are people out there. Not necessarily in the Roman Catholic Church. You could be in or out of the Catholic Church, whatever. They're seeking so desperately that, like I said this morning, they're literally working themselves to death to make themselves acceptable to God. And all they have to do is go to God as a sinner, admit they're a sinner, and believe and trust in Jesus Christ, and they're saved. How simple, how beautiful that is. And Paul is saying here in verse 11 that in verse 11 he says, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live. Notice that word, by faith. And it's faith and not works. It's not works. And finally, in verse 12, he says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Faith and law they're diametrically opposed to one another. In our world, you're saved and you live your life by the grace of God, or you're saved and live your life by the works of the law. You can't have them both. This is not a both-and situation. This is a either-or situation. We talked about that this morning. Ravi Zacharias had a philosophical discussion with a man. He was a university professor who was not a Christian, and Ravi took him out to lunch. And he said, you pay and I'll pray. And Ravi talked to this man, and the man was, he adhered to pantheism, to Hindu, kind of a, pantheism is an Eastern religion, based on Hinduism. And he was using the argument of both and. You can both do this and do that. And Ravi was saying, no, you can't. It's either or. It's similar to what Paul is trying to get across to the Galatian Christians. Law is not of faith. You're either saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ, or you're saved by keeping the works of the law. You can't do both. It's not both and. It's an either or type of situation. And Ravi said, even in India, you either look both ways, or the bus is going to run over you. You look both ways before you cross the street, or the bus is going to run over you. It's either or, not both and. Look both ways, and the bus is going to run over you. that didn't make any sense. That's illogical. And Ravi, of course, goes into this law. He calls it the law of non-contradiction. I don't quite understand that completely. So if I don't understand it, I can't tell you all about it. But obviously. But, you know, Paul is saying that, you know, it's an either-or situation, not a both-and situation. You're either saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ, or you're saved by keeping the works of the law. And we know, we understand as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are saved totally, completely, by faith in Jesus Christ. And he's saying that if you believe the Old Testament law, you've got to do it. You've got to keep it in verse 12. The man that doeth them shall live in them. If you're going to keep yourself or justify yourself in God's eyes by keeping the works of the law, you better keep all of it. You better keep all of it totally and completely and perfectly. Because if you don't, you can't be justified. And you notice how logical and how reasonable the Apostle Paul is with the Galatian Christians in laying out for them this doctrine of justification by faith versus salvation by works. And, you know, I think it's important for us as believers that we have to get a clear understanding in our minds of this situation. You may say, well, Earl, you know, all this stuff about the Galatians and all, that doesn't apply to me. And the folks in the world today, you can see there are people out there who are working themselves to death, trying to be acceptable to God. And it's sad. It's sad. They're good, decent people. But they don't understand that it's the grace of God by the grace of God alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. You don't have to work yourself to death. God forbid that you should work yourself to death to be acceptable to God. You'll never make it. You'll never make it to heaven, folks. Can't do it. Well, that's all that's the end of this section right here. We'll continue our study in this. I think it's a Wednesday this month, in a couple of weeks. And we'll start reading in verse 13 in Galatians 3. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, again, we just thank you so much for revealing your wonderful, blessed truth to our hearts. We thank you, Father, that we can come to your word, your infallible, inerrant word. And we find out that phrase, Father, for it is written. It is written in your word. These precious and wonderful truths. And Father, we just thank you for these doctrines, the justification by faith, and you've given us understanding and teaching and instruction on these things, and so that we may understand them with our minds and our hearts and tell other people about this wonderful doctrine of faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, Heavenly Father, and we give you praise and thanksgiving tonight in the name of that Savior who went to the cross and died for us, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.